genetic power has now been unleashed.
See? Not so bad.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of our Tickets for Two podcast, where we aim to provide our unique insights on films and TV shows. And today, we are talking about Jurassic World Dominion.
That's right, Andrew. The beloved trilogy of Jurassic World finally comes to an end 4 years after the destruction of Isla Nublar, which you wouldn't know about, Andrew, because you didn't see the second one, Fallen Kingdom. Dinosaurs now live and hunt alongside humans all over the world. This fragile balance will reshape the future and determine, once and for all, whether human beings are to remain the apex predators on a planet they now share with history's most fearsome creatures. Andrew, Colin Trevorrow is back. He directed the first Jurassic World. Chris Pratt is here in spirit. I don't know if he was actually on set or they CGI'd him in. You got Bryce Dallas Howard, the lovely Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, the original heroes are back. And in this bombastic finale that lasted just over 2 hours, almost 2.5 hours, a lot of things happened, a lot of things didn't happen. I know you have a lot to say about this film, and not all of it so nice. Andrew, why don't you get us started?
Not many nice things are coming out of my mouth tonight. I do not like this movie. I think it was a glorified Land Before Time. I didn't have fun with it. I was just there for the pod, to be frankly honest. I thought I was going to see a lot of fun new things and actually see dinosaurs interacting with actual wildlife, which we see snippets of, kind of like just them eating. But I thought we were going to see how they're integrated into actual society. I didn't see one person in this movie. Well, I don't know if this is a spoiler or not because I'm trying to avoid spoilers, but I don't think I saw one incident of a dinosaur as a pet. You would think that would be a thing, where people might want to take one up as a pet, but that didn't happen. I don't know. This movie didn't do it for me.
That was in Fallen Kingdom. In the previous one, they were selling the dinosaurs as pets to rich people to play.
Well, you know
with.
What? They should have made that happen again for people like me who don't bother to watch those movies.
they didn't actually show what happens with them as pets, but They did talk about it a little bit in the second one. But yeah, it didn't see it really at all in this one in terms of that interaction, other than a few snippets here and there.
I couldn't wait for the movie to be over. That's pretty much how I could describe my experience watching this movie. But tell me about you. I feel like you had a more positive experience.
Yeah, I want to say thoroughly positive. Kind of same as Fallen Kingdom. I thought Jurassic World, the 2015 one, was easily the best of these three movies. You know, this movie is entertaining at a lot of times, and other times it's just very sloppy. Sloppy storytelling, poor editing, low stakes. But you know what? It was entertaining. It kept my mind occupied. And contrary to you, Andrew, I actually didn't want it to end because I was actually somewhat enjoying it. What I did want was for it to get better. I wanted it for it to get better as I was going. Come on, give me something good. Give me something good. I don't feel like we ever really got there. But I was never bored. It's about what I expected after looking at the reviews prior to seeing this. So is it a good movie? No. Will you enjoy seeing it with family or friends? Yeah, I think you'll have a good time checking this out. It's about the same level as Fallen Kingdom. But yeah, it's definitely, considering all the effort that sometimes goes in, all the money and all the actors they bring, that's kind of disappointing. You guys can do a little bit more with this kind of stuff.
It's funny that you say that because I do not want to bring anyone to suffer the way I did and watch this movie. But I mean, this is how you felt towards the Bob's Burgers on our previous episode.
I know.
So now let's take
I got a disclaimer. I got to put a disclaimer. Listen, I'm going to say this so everyone hears loud and clear. The Bob's Burgers movie is better than Jurassic World Dominion. It's a better made movie.
Agreed.
Much more well-crafted and thought out and all that. Jurassic World Dominion, for me, was just a lot more entertaining. It's really that simple. I was just more into it. But I could tell, yeah, that was Bob's Burgers was a decent movie, but just kind of boring. But yeah, this movie's not good when you look at the technical components of it. It's the story. I mean, we're not really getting into spoilers yet, but the story had nothing to do with dinosaurs. And it just kind of blew my mind. It was like two B plots in a movie they kind of put together and doesn't really work. You know, the dinosaurs kind of become side characters, and it just seems like a bunch of different scenes just put together, and no, it wasn't coherent.
That's kind of how it was. The dinosaurs ended up feeling like side characters, but not only that, there were too many other side characters also, like human, like people, like just random people just coming out of nowhere, and we expect to like just be like, okay, here they are, and they disappear and we don't know nothing about them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, this movie had too much going on at once, too much unnecessary introductions and subplots, and I was not captivated the whole time. It was boring.
That's fair. So, you know, if you want to see Jurassic World Dominion, just have low expectations and you might have a good time. But don't expect to be blown away with some sort of masterpiece. That's even with all the original people back, it's not going to be anything. It's not anywhere near Jurassic Park. Let's get into spoilers real quick, Andrew. So, spoilers, stop listening. I don't even know what I would spoil about this movie, to be completely honest. Everyone makes it out alive.
I'm sure everyone already knows that I'm going to have a ton of things negative to say, but let's start off on a good note. Tell me some things that you felt like made this movie a good time for you. Like, what did you like?
So there's a couple sequences in this film that I think were just really, really well made. One is the first scene. There's a big action scene in Malta. There's a motorcycle chase. They're like in this sort of drug dealer, dinosaur dealer, like whole kind of like Mos Eisley in Star Wars. That whole sequence was just so much fun. It didn't feel like a Jurassic World or Jurassic Park dinosaur movie, but it was just cool. You kind of see, like, there was like a shoot 'em up. There was like a cartoon villain in a white trench coat. Chris Pratt's riding around motorcycles, and you know, they got little raptors chasing him around. It was a lot of fun, and it flew by. So it was really strange to me because there's some of those scenes that the director really got right and just felt good. It was fun and full of action. And there's so many other ones that are just kind of like just dumb. We were talking about the story earlier. There's two stories in this. One, their clone adopted child is abducted, so they have to go get her. And the second story is that there's locusts that are taking over, which is kind of interesting, but not for this movie. It would be like a good movie on its own, like a prequel to Interstellar or something like that. it was just so weird. I enjoyed some of the scenes. I think Bryce Dallas Howard gave an incredible performance, believe it or not. I think her scene with that one alpha dinosaur where she's kind of sneaking into the water and doing all that, that was one of the best, probably the best, most intense moment of the entire film.
I have that written down on part of my notes, and I did a huge, huge asterisk while I was watching the movie that I agree that scene where she was going through or crawling onto the water, that was probably the most actually intense scene of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole film, they tried so many attempts to be like intense or thrilling or have you at the edge of your seat, and it fell flat to me. But that one scene is probably my favorite of the whole movie.
Yeah, that was it. Just if that didn't feel like a different movie, is to a certain extent, like, wow, this is like really cool. You're getting her, the camera's right up on her face, and she's kind of like slowly going into the water, and the dinosaur's creeping behind her. And then everything else just feels so sloppily edited. But that one scene is just so coherently and well put together. Andrew, we have to talk about obviously Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum. They're all back, they're having a good time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I have to give the movie credit because unlike another famous, you know, story that I like, Star Wars, Luke, Han, and Leia, who never met in the new trilogy, they were all together at least in this film, and it was good to see that. You know, was it?
Luke and Leia met up again.
It was his ghost. It was his force powers. Remember, he wasn't actually there.
Oh, I get. Okay, fine. If you want to be that technical, then okay, yeah, you're
it
right.
Was, it was shit. It was shit. Yeah. But no, did you think that the nostalgia was overused or underused? I actually thought there could have been more. I was surprised they didn't go far enough with it.
Oh my god, I think I was so annoyed seeing Laura Dern, Sam Neill, and Jeff Goldblum come back because I feel like Hollywood is so horny for this nostalgia effect nowadays, where they're trying to find any reason to bring back original cast members into new movies. I mean, we just saw that in Top Gun, you know, the Spider-Man. I mean, it worked there, but even now here in Jurassic World, like, there's such a huge, I don't know, like, movement towards making people feel like they gotta come into the movies and see their, you know, the actors they grew up with. So, do they need all three of them to come back? I feel like a huge fat no.
Yeah, I think they were.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum's character seemed a lot more necessary. Even Laura Dern's, she kind of goes and gets Sam Neill to come. Like, hey, we need you. But why did they need her? I don't really know. Why him? I don't know. Well, he didn't really do anything.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah, but that's my point. I didn't think it was that bad. They just kind of were doing their own thing. They were having a good time and on their own. You know, they were technically on the main mission because the locusts were more important than saving the clone girl. No offense to Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard. That girl's not that important. So they were. I was enjoying watching their scenes together. I would have wanted more. I wanted to see Sam Neill, like, actually, you know, kind of fight dinosaurs or, you know, kind of confront them a little more. Instead, they're just out there playing with bugs. It was just kind of weird in that sense. But I agree with you overall with this obsession with bringing nostalgia, you know, to everything instead of trying new casts, new ideas, and new things like that.
I think Sam Neill, they bringing him back and making him, like, the pathetic character of the cast. Like, oh, he's still single, no kids. He has, like, a lame digging job. Like, they really tore into him, and I felt really bad that they kind of dumbed down his character like that. I felt kind of sad for him. Like, Jeff Goldblum is this, like, a speaker at the biotech company. Laura Dern is, like, a prolific. Yeah, you hear that?
Bio-sin, because it's a sin to do what they're doing, because they are a sinful company. You know, was really subtle.
Once we start talking about the things that we didn't like, I have so much to say about that little stupid company.
Oh, Biosyn. But that's the thing. You know, one thing also that caught me by surprise was, even though no one important really dies in this film in terms of the main characters, they did a pretty good job of keeping the intensity high in each scene. Just the way it cut from a dinosaur bite to a leg or an arm, you know, being pulled away in the last second. I knew nothing was going to happen to the characters, but it was just incorporated so well that it was just kind of kept me on the edge of my seat for some of that. Andrew, one of my favorite touches, and I'm sure you noticed this as well, was they kind of had the dinosaurs from, like, every sort of study or era. They had the feathered dinosaurs were there. Yes. The regular dinosaurs were there. And then when they're in the Amber Cave, they also had those, like, reptilian-looking dinosaurs in the cave. I don't know, like, for, like, evolution or whatever. It was cool that we got to see all of that because, you know, the science is always evolving with what, you know, people discover and that sort of thing. You got Prehistoric Planet out here on Apple TV changing the game. So for them to actually implement that into this film and not just go based on what was in the original Jurassic Park was really well done.
That was one cool thing that you mentioned about the different dinosaurs that they were showing, because at some point in the movie, or towards the beginning of the movie, when it was, like, all snowy and cold, I was wondering to myself, like, how are some of these dinosaurs surviving the cold? They have, like, no feathers, or they have no fur to keep them warm. Like what's the evolutionary explanation for it? But yeah, it is cool that they did show some of that, you know. Yeah. Makes sense.
You ever think about that from, like, a film perspective? Sometimes it shows, like, the difference in quality between a film like Jurassic World Dominion and something else. When you ask yourself the question, like, oh, why aren't those dinosaurs, or should they be cold, should they not be cold, you know, what's going on with them? And then there's other movies that every single thing they implement into the film, they create the world before they actually create the story. I'm going to do a shameless plug of, like, the meticulous attention to detail that James Cameron does for Avatar, where everything in that universe, like, he's thought out, okay, this is why these people look like this. This is why, you know, their arms are big. It's because they're swimmers. They have, like, wider forearms and stuff like that. Everything is detailed and thought out and makes sense to the best of its ability scientifically. But then you have, like I said, movies like this where it's just like, just fucking throw the dinosaurs in there, man. Who gives a shit?
They could have at least done some research with, like, some kind of archaeologist or professor about, like, what can we do with these guys? But no, like, it shows to me that they did not put any effort into, like, real research for this.
Yeah, no, you could definitely tell. The lack of effort isn't... Look, I said it at the beginning. It's not a good movie, but I had fun with it. It's stupid. but we should want more. We should expect more from a movie like this. I mean, God, the editing. Andrew, it was so weird. There were some scenes...
Hold on. So are we going to start moving into things that we didn't like? Is that what we're going to start doing?
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, fine.
Some other like neat touches, but I think we can't spend too long without talking about the editing in this film. It was crazy. You had scenes where one character saving another, and then it flips and it's the other character. I was like, what the hell just happened? And then they're climbing the stair to escape, and then it cuts to the dinosaur and it cuts back, and people who were like right on the bottom of the stair all of a sudden are like running on the top. I just didn't make any sense. It just like they forgot to like insert some scenes, and it was just like paste it together like a fourth grader trying to finish a paper report for the next day.
I wonder what happened, because they cut a lot of stuff out that was in the trailers, didn't make it to the movie. So they for sure did a bunch of re-editing that probably made it look this sloppy. I don't know.
I think there was a lot of cuts. There was definitely a lot of cuts. You had the one lady like in the white trench coat in the Malta scene. And she looks like a very specifically designed villain. She fights with the Bryce Dallas Howard's character. And then she's just not in the rest of the movie anymore.
If we're going to talk about that, I have no idea where she came from. But it looked like they tried to make her look like Mirage from The Incredibles. Looked similar to that.
That's what she reminded me of. Yeah.
Her
story was... that was definitely a cutting room thing. She had to have been like a consistent character in the movie, and she just disappeared. And then speaking of the opposite of disappearing, you had the pilot lady. She's like, yeah, I'm not gonna help you, I don't get involved. And then like 5 minutes later, she's like, I'm in
why did Claire, Bryce Dallas Howard's character, why did she just randomly trust her in the bathroom? Like, oh hey, by the way, do you know this girl? I don't know. Like, why? None of this makes any sense.
It was funny because I think they were talking about like, hey guys, when we get in here, we gotta be careful. You know, watch out. And then as soon as she sees someone American, she's like, help me find my daughter. And I'm like, you haven't seen Fallen Kingdom, Andrew. They literally like this girl. They met her like at the end of Fallen Kingdom, and I it was just the fact that the story even had her as Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard's like parents. It was just so weird. It seemed like they would have like given her to a proper scientific family, or she had a nanny. I thought maybe the nanny died. I don't freaking remember, but it was just weird. And yeah,
but real fast
about that.
Yeah, no, but real fast, like that lady. I see here her name's DeWanda Wise. She was playing good. Kayla Watts. She was good. I think she should be Reva in the Obi-Wan.
Oh my god, I was gonna say the same thing.
She would be perfect for that.
I was gonna say the same thing. Oh man, I was really gonna say she was a good actress for sure. Yeah, yeah. I
way more realistically threatening is how she was.
Yeah, yeah. She was a fun character, but like that's the thing, like you mentioned about nostalgia. It's like, why didn't they just focus on these folks? All right, Andrew, I'm gonna let you just run away with it for like the next 5 minutes. All you.
Okay. Yeah, give me like 5 minutes to just run down every single point I have that made me hate this movie. So first of all, starting with the beginning. Oh my god, the whole plot of this movie about a lab. Why is everything about a lab? Nowadays, every single thing is a lab. Oh, we're trying to cure cancer, and the next thing you know, it goes wrong. Like, can we come up with anything new? Please, like, why does it always have to do with this? And the guy who runs the lab, do they purposely make him look like Tim Cook from Apple? Like, he looked exactly like him. And
I was a fan. You know who he is, right?
No, I don't.
He's the guy from the original Jurassic Park who's talking to the chubby guy, and he's getting the eggs. And he's like, oh, we're stealing eggs. See, nobody cares. You know that meme? You've seen that?
Oh, that's him?
That's the guy. He's from he's like one of the original villains from Jurassic Park, but it's a different actor because the original actor is in jail for, I think, child rape or something.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay.
Crazy stuff.
So that was
that's back to back, right? Bob's Burgers and this with the arrests and then, man,
so many criminals in Hollywood. Are we gonna find one in
Hollywood or Holly Weird? Tune in next week And we'll dig in. Documentary. 3 hours long. No. Yeah, so that was actually supposed to be one of the another character they brought back. And yeah, it was I found like a lot of Tim Apple similarities with him for sure.
That's kind of what I felt. And then there was that one scene where Chris Pratt Owen, I'm just gonna call him Pratt, like he tries to calm down these dinos.
Oh god.
With his hand thing. It reminded me so much like Black Widow trying to calm down the Hulk in Age of Ultron. Like, hey, big guy, the sun's getting real low. Like, why does he think that hand thing works every time? Like, I saw the first one, and I get it. You know, that's his thing.
And yeah. But it worked, man, in Jurassic World, because it was like, oh, he was training them.
Right.
He knows them. But it's so overused now. To be honest, it wasn't, like, terrible when he did it. But then when all of a sudden everyone else starts doing it, too, and the little girl starts doing it, it's like, oh,
no, wait till I get there, man. Wait till I get to that part.
Oh, yeah, we're only 2 minutes into your rant, so keep it going.
When they go to the FBI, and then they talk to that Justin Smith kid, which I dislike as an actor. I don't think he's good. He was in Detective Pikachu, and I did not get sold on
him. He was good in the last one. He was good in the second Jurassic World one, mm-hmm. I'll admit.
But then when they go to the FBI, and out of nowhere he pulls up on the tab like, Rain Diacourt, right? Like, how did they find this guy out? Chris Pratt saw him from like a mile away on the bridge, and how was he able to give some vague description about him that they were able to pull up exactly who he is? Like, that made no sense to me. And then there was that scene where Laura Dern is with Sam Neill. No, wait, Laura Dern's with Jeff Goldblum's character. And they're walking around, and Sam Neill's like, how do you know, or how are you guys talking to each other? And she says, oh, he slid in my DMs. Like, no, oh, man, stop. Like, it doesn't work like that. It's so bad. But yeah, the editing was bad. And then like, what I didn't understand is, how did Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, how do they know to go to Malta? Was that explained? Or did they just show up?
Yeah, I think they had a lead. I think they had a lead. And that's
God. I did not understand how they knew specifically how to get there. And there's so many side characters that just come out of nowhere. Like Omar Sy, the Barry, the guy that met him in Malta.
Oh, that guy was cool. We should have got more of him.
But was he in the last movie?
I don't remember him in that movie, but it's just kind of weird because he's like, oh, what's up, bro? I'm like, I think he's gone.
We have no explanation of where these people are coming from. And again, like, the huge thing is like, when Chris Pratt's on the motorcycle running away from the dinos, how did he know where the airway was without Google Maps? He just followed some random road that somehow led him to the plane.
Ah, you're nitpicking now. I gotta give cut us you something. Off. I gotta cut you off, man. You're nitpicking.
Fine. Let me get away from the nitpick. When Chris Pratt falls into that water in the very cold little area, that's like sub-zero degrees. He gets
a Navy SEAL, Andrew. He's a former Navy SEAL in the movie.
Do not give me that.
He's military.
Okay, that's their excuse. I'll give you that. He's Navy SEAL. And then when Bryce Dallas Howard's character is like getting ambushed by those dinos, and then Chris Pratt like, you know, throat chokes them. that made me laugh first of all.
That was so weird.
When he throws him away, he's like, go on, get. Like, what is that? Like, he's talking to them like they're some kind of coyote. Go on, get. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was so annoying to me. But one thing that was real stupid, too, was, I mean, yeah, you mentioned it. That girl. Oh, my God. When she does that hand movement and she's like, hey, all eyes on me. Like, oh, Jesus. Like, come on. Like, I audibly cringed out loud, and I think people heard me, but I could not stomach that. They couldn't make it any more believable. I'm sure there was a better take when they were filming this that they could have used, but they ended up using probably the worst one. Oh my God.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was all filmed in one take. They just threw no double shoots. Everything sure was just done once.
This was probably filmed on an iPhone, like edited in Final Cut Pro. Like, oh my goodness. But then, if I will be nitpicky again, the movie started off with their entire home and area all snowy and covered in snow. And then at the end of the movie, it's all gone and super green and luscious. How much time passed through the movie
It represents peace coming into their life, peace and warmth and love. And no more harsh coldness of winter.
This movie sucks. It's a
transition,
man.
Of bad times. The transition of bad times to good times. You mentioned that scene with the Chris Pratt choking dinosaurs. It's just kind of funny because there's this whole like dilemma in this film where some of the characters are just like, oh, we got to save the dinosaurs. We got to do everything we can to help them. There's some characters that are just like choking them out. And it just doesn't make sense because they're married to each other in this film. They're literally a couple and she wants to save the dinosaurs. And Chris Pratt's just like lassoing them on a freaking horse. He's like you said, he's choking them out like it's WWE. And it's just like, there's no consistency. And it just comes down to the two things, really two simple things. One, what's the theme of the story? Like, what's the goal? Is it about cloning? Is it about the girl and the dangers of cloning? Is it about the dangers of dinosaurs and like going to the, you know, playing around with the past, playing God, as they say throughout this trilogy?
Yeah.
What's it about? It's clearly about nothing. It's just intended to entertain.
It's not even about
animals and dinosaurs living in harmony, because they kind of tried that at the end of Fallen Kingdom, and now they're just doing it again, so we're kind of just back where we started. It just comes down to this, Andrew. There's only so many stories that you can tell in this universe. Jurassic Park and Jurassic World are really entertaining because it's like, oh, you have this land, and there's dinosaurs in them, and visitors can go and see them, and then something goes wrong, and we got to save the people. We got to get out of here before the dinosaurs kill us all. How many times can you do that? You know, there's only two or three times you can do that. There's not that many interesting stories to tell about dinosaurs. That's really just what it comes down to.
There's nothing you can do. But one thing that came up in my mind when I was watching this movie is like the way they were all treating the dinosaurs. Like there's a black market and, you know, they're used for bad and all that. Real fast. This is a huge side note. I think we're going to go on a little tangent here. But like, how would you think the world would react if like Pokemon existed? Do you think they'd be treated like this, like bred and sold in a dark market? Like that's how this felt to me. Like if there was like real creatures from like another fantasy universe, they'd probably be treated like this too, pretty bad.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, they're exotic. People want them. They have value. They're like NFTs, but they're real. I think there would be a lot of value, and yeah, they would be poorly treated. In some cases, they'd go out of hand and kill people. But yeah, I definitely think it was that stuff is like realistic for sure.
One thing I want to talk about after my huge rant of everything I hated about this movie, which is pretty much 90% of this movie.
Why is that, Andrew? Why were you so preoccupied with this movie finishing?
I think it goes back to what I mentioned in a previous podcast where this is a movie about dinosaurs. Give us the dinosaurs. Like when the movie about Godzilla came out, why was there so much human drama when we wanted the giant lizard? And then they gave us more giant lizard in the sequel. So if you're going to give us this, then give it to us the right way. So many reasons. Yeah. Blame the girl. She should not have crossed that bridge they told her not to.
I actually thought there was a lot of dinosaurs in the film. It's just a shame because they weren't related to the main story, like we mentioned earlier. Yeah. This movie was about locusts and saving her, and dinosaurs are obstacles in the way.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. That's a really good way to put it. One thing I wanted to talk about in this movie was that before the movie was released, Colin Trevorrow, the director, he made a statement to Empire, and he said in his statement that in reference
like,
to
like the Star Wars Empire or who?
Oh, no, Empire, like the magazine.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. He talked about in reference to the Giga Dinosaur. He said that, quote, "I wanted something that felt like the Joker. It just wants to watch the world burn."
What?
What in the world is that supposed to mean? If anyone who saw this movie, the Giga Dinosaur is hardly even there.
Doesn't make any sense. It's a freaking dinosaur. It's not like a fucking sentient human being.
I felt like after reading that, I was like, okay, maybe, you know, this dinosaur is going to just wreak havoc, you know, maybe run through buildings or destroy things. But we don't see it. I don't get where this movie even came from.
That doesn't make any... Either there's like a big direct... Listen, Colin Trevorrow... he was supposed to direct The Rise of Skywalker originally, and then he made this movie called The Book of Henry, and it was so bad, the reviews for that movie are so bad, that he was basically fired from directing the Star Wars movie before he could ever even touch it. I think he's made like one good movie. It's called...
The First Jurassic called. World?
No, he's made one that's like actually like really, really well-reviewed. Yeah, so the movie he directed is called Safety Not Guaranteed. But beyond that, he just did Jurassic World and I guess some other crap, now Dominion. That's just a really weird statement. I don't know if he just wants to say, hey, I'm going to direct it, and you know that is what it is, going to move on. I want to pose you this question. Bryce Dallas Howard, she's been directing a lot of the episodes for The Mandalorian. I think she did some for Book of Boba Fett as well. I'm not sure. But some of her directing is really good. For those of you who don't know, I think most of you do know, but she is, you know, the daughter of visionary director Ron Howard. So the talent is in the bloodline. Should she have just directed this movie? Should they have just given it to her?
I mean, you already know I have a huge crush on Bryce Dallas Howard, so I would have loved to see this movie, no matter, you know, if it was directed by her, I would have loved it. But yeah, I think seeing her work that she's done, those episodes of The Mandalorian, yeah, give it to her. I feel like she deserves way more recognition for the kind of imagination that she has. I respect it.
Yeah. I know why you have a crush on Bryce Dallas Howard. This goes back to your childhood, because there's actually one scene in this movie. I'll get there in a second. The scene when she's falling off the plane, the parachute, and the camera's in her face. Uh-huh. Tell me that's not like a callback to her Gwen Stacy moment in Spider-Man 3.
Yo, you read my mind. I was gonna bring that up.
I knew it. I was like, oh, that's such a Gwen Stacy. Like, looks just like it.
It did. Totally
what it is.
It really did. Yeah, I was gonna bring that up exactly the way you mentioned it. Yeah, that's kind of what. Yeah, that's what did it for me.
Something else, Andrew, is that Trevorrow apparently wanted to make this movie. He didn't want to make the original Jurassic World. He wanted to make a movie where the dinosaurs and the humans and the animals, they're all living kind of like together, coexisting. So my question was, why did they just have like this weird story? Why didn't they just explore those themes and see, does it work? Does it not work? You know, what are the lessons learned from there? We mentioned it earlier, but it's just so weird that this movie literally ends how the last one does.
Well, yeah,
it was pointless. Nothing. Let me ask you this: did anything change the state of the world or the state of the characters from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie?
Nothing changed.
Everyone's back where they started.
Yeah.
Maybe the daughter likes her parents a little bit more now, because you know she realized what it's like to be abducted and you know taken by strange looking people and almost died. I don't know. Like, what else? What else is there to do, you know?
Yeah, all they did is eradicate the locust. That's all they did. And then yeah, like I think the whole reason was obviously, you know, contracts. I mean, that's what it boils down to, right? Is like they needed Chris Pratt's face. I'm pretty sure, like I mentioned earlier, they wanted to bring back nostalgia. So of course they're going to flood the movie with Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern and Sam Neill. Like, they were just going to do that. But at that point, like, why? I feel like people who saw the original Jurassic Park are like in their 30s. Are they really trying to reappeal the 30s? To the 30s?
You mean like their 80s, right?
Oh my god, yeah, that's much older, right?
Yeah, like yeah. Their 60s or 70s.
Like, what was the point? Like, of course we all, you know, even the younger generation, they love Jeff Goldblum, but like, everyone else, come on now. Like, you really just wasted a good movie about dinos just to fill in that little spot that, I don't know, some executive probably like, oh, bring them all back. No. Yeah.
No. I thought everyone actually put in a pretty good performance, except Chris Pratt. And I know you didn't watch Fallen Kingdom, but it was the same thing in there as it is in this one, where Chris Pratt, like, he's there, he's like, you know, yelling in his scenes, his eyes there, but something about, like, when you look at him, like, I just feel like his soul isn't there. It's almost just like, it's just that little bit of effort that you see from an actor that makes all the difference. Uh-huh. And it just really just seemed like he was there to get the paycheck and move on because he had contractual obligations. It just didn't seem like he was invested in the film like the previous ones. It's either that or the writing for the character, because it just kind of seemed flat. Where in the first Jurassic World, he was like a main character. He was like, it was all about him for the most part.
Yeah, it didn't feel like he was trying at all. Chris Pratt looked like the most Christian pastor-looking dude ever in this movie. One thing I was going to bring up, one character I really liked, surprisingly, was Ramsey. Mamadou Athi, I think that's his name, or Atti.
Yeah, he was cool.
Yeah, I think he was really cool. But one thing that also distracted me was how did he, in towards the end of the movie...
The romantic tension
him and
Tim Apple?
Not that at all, but like how towards the end of the movie... How did he teleport into that little compound in the middle of the forest so quickly right after he turned down the Tim Cook guy, and nobody questions how he got in there.
They used the Elon Musk boring tunnel thing. What was it, the Hyperloop?
they didn't even show that. Like, he just literally randomly popped up. And
yeah, like I said, the whole movie is full of those weird moments where just the cuts between scenes are just so jarring. Did you think there was a little bit of like weird tension between the villain and that Ramsey character? Like, they kept looking at each other, and the guy was like, he was trying to like say something. Like, is he a clone? Like, does he trust him? Are they like together? Are they lovers? Like, what is going? I don't know if it was just the acting. It just felt weird. Like, I thought like it was another like it felt like another storyline they didn't like really expand upon. They just had like this work. Was that it? Was it just a working relationship between an intern and a professor? Because he's like, didn't he say something like, "Oh, you don't know like how much I've helped you out after all that? Like, you betray me." It's like, well, I don't know how much you've helped him out. What have you done for him?
Yeah, seriously. And he's like, I gave you the opportunities I didn't have. Like, tell us. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Like, oh, God. Like, I don't know. Hey, let's just skip all this. Here, let's go get into it. What was your score for this whole movie? Because I'm ready to stop talking about this.
Listen. We said a lot of bad things, some good things. It's dumb. It's silly. It's not particularly well put together. But if you have adjusted expectations, you like to just go buy a big bag of popcorn, go sit in the theater and have a good time, have some laughs, see Jeff Goldblum making some good comments, and see some cool, really good CGI-looking dinosaurs at times fight and all that, you're going to be distracted for a couple hours. You're going to enjoy it. You will wake up tomorrow and you will forget that you ever saw it. I had to think about this movie for the last 3-4 days because of our podcast recording schedule, but I will forget about it as soon as I wake up tomorrow. My score is a 2.5 out of 5. But I still recommend it if you just want to go see an entertaining movie. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Interesting that you say all that. I personally believe that this movie was a huge, giant waste of money and time. I think it's so awkwardly put together. I think the only redeemable qualities of this movie is Jeff Goldblum, DeWanda Weiss's character, and I think everything else about it. We see a bunch of animatronic dinosaurs, which is, you know, pretty cool and all, but you could tell that they're all robotic. It's something out of like E.T. Like, they're not even that believable at some points. Yeah, this movie felt like one giant big pile of shit. I did not enjoy it. I would never take anybody with me to watch this movie. I feel like you're better off watching Bob's Burgers again, or
no,
even go see.
Go
see some half-naked men in Top Gun. I'd rather see that again. But overall, I did not enjoy my time at all. I would give this movie a fat, deserving 1.5 out of 5.
Oh, that's too harsh.
It was not worth my time at all. I didn't have fun. I didn't have fun. I think, like...
Why didn't you have fun, Andrew?
What is there to enjoy? Like, you just see a bunch of people running around, and the intense music, the intense soundtrack tries to make up for the non-intense scenes. I didn't have any joy whatsoever. I couldn't wait to leave. I think the best part of the movie is when it ended. And that's all I gotta say about that.
That's fair. I like your reasoning. You came out with support, and I respect your score.
So with all that put together, you hear both of our sides, you hear both of our reasoning and various scores, my 1.5 and Santi, your 2.5. But I'm just happy we're done with this, and we hope you enjoyed it. We hope you liked what you heard. But Santi, give us a preview of what we are going to be talking about next week.
That's right, Andrew. In case you couldn't get enough of animated films, we're back. We're doing Lightyear, and it is the mostly anticipated or not so anticipated unnecessary spin-off from the Toy Story series that focuses on Buzz Lightyear. Not the Buzz Lightyear that we know from Tim Allen, but this new Chris Evans Buzz Lightyear, who is the actual astronaut upon which the toy is based upon. And he's going to go on some crazy adventures and do stuff, and we're going to talk about it next week.
Yes, we will. Early reviews are looking kind of positive, so I'm kind of excited.
I'm seeing kind of negative or kind of mixed.
Interesting. We'll see what happens next week on our next episode of Tickets for Two podcast.
We'll see you then.